What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Welcome. This is Stan Lee of Marvel Comics warning you to look around you, your classmates, your friends. You never know which one of them may be a mutant, a person born with strange and wondrous powers. Now, some mutants, like the X-Men, use their special gifts for good. But then there are the terrorist mutants who plan to destroy the human race.
Another world. Another time. In the Age of Wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm going to have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast, the podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pocket because she's trapped in there. She needs air. Let her out. Okay, but grab your happiest thought. Throw that pixie dust in the air like confetti because happy. Sing it with me. Oh, he's taking a drink. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday, Mickey. Yay! November 18th, the official 90th birthday of Mickey Mouse. And so that was, of course, the normal plan for the show, but then everything else started happening, and we've got a fully packed show. And, of course, I am your host, Head Lost Boy, the Spider-Pan. You can call me Jeremy or Spider-Pan. I answer to both. Just don't call me late for dinner. I always want to have a stupid excuse to use that really stupid joke. And if you recognize that voice, Lost Boy Phil, we call him the Kryptonian. Hello.
Hello.
And I had to come over and talk to you here because Eric couldn't be with us today.
Oh.
But... With what happened this week with the passing of Stan Lee, who else better that I should be talking to than you?
Oh, I love Stan Lee.
So we got to discuss that later. Yes. So we're going to tribute that we're dedicating this show. We're going to share some of the positive things of Stan Lee.
Yes.
And then another surprising death that happened. Other than also, I forgot the name of the guy, Goodman, but the writer of the Princess Bride script also passed.
And the Princess Bride right back there talking about him.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah,
but Roy Clark, and he's got some Disney connection we'll get into, but I know he had an impact on me when I was younger.
Me too.
And so, perfect, we can also tribute. We're going to give some time to Roy Clark, but of course, we got to spend time talking about some Mickey Mouse for his 90th birthday and continuing our series of all of our favorite Mickey. Well, we can't do all of our favorite Mickey cartoons.
Oh,
there's
no.
There's so many. But we're doing my absolute favorite Mickey Mouse cartoon today.
Ah, yes.
I mean, and it's the second place is held by a lot of them.
Oh, my.
But
goodness.
This is the number one because I think this is the first I had a book of this one.
Yes.
When I was a kid. And so this became
my
favorite.
I still have it somewhere.
Awesome. But I had one of the ones, remember the Fisher Price books where it had the little miniature record on the pages and you put the thing on top? I had this one.
I'll be dog. That's
and
great.
So that's why I love this one we're going to talk about today. But also, we have a heck of a ton of some Disney Parks news because the D23, not the Expo, but I'm going to call it the Destination D. That's what you call it. Destination D has been going on today in holy snot, brothers. I couldn't come up with anything else to say.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
They released on through Entertainment Weekly some music by John Williams for Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, if there's a way I can play it, I'm going to play it for you right now. But right now, it's on Entertainment Weekly's website. It's on a video. If I can manage to finagle a copy of the music to play for you, I'll give you a little hint of it while we're discussing it. But if you don't hear it, that means I couldn't figure out a way to get to it. Maybe they'd make it available for us to purchase. Oh, I don't know. I'll find out.
I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite.
I don't know if it's available right now, though. But if it's available for purchase, it'll be playing right now and you're hearing it and it's beautiful. But I don't know where they're using it. I mean, is this going to be walk into the gated area? I don't know where you're going to hear it, but you're going to hear a Galaxy's Edge. And while you're, oh my gosh, they told us the names of some attractions now. The Millennium Falcon ride that we've been hearing so much that you can actually go in. They know how you do. If you're successful, they were going to revere you. If you fail miserably, bounty hunters may come and get you. And it's called Smuggler's Run.
Yes.
That's
going to be a blast.
Yes. What worries me is, okay, since it's not just you, it's going to be your friends or maybe some complete strangers on that Falcon with you. And you may have, let's say you've got four people in a crew, two of you may be like, all right, we're going to be successful at this. The other two might be like, I wonder what happens if you wreck this thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to... That's going to be interesting.
Confrontations.
Yes. You might, while you're standing in the queue, which, by the way, some pictures I've been seeing in this video of the queue. I mean, you're walking on board the Millennium Falcon. You can see the little game board.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You get to see it all.
I got to learn how to play that game.
Oh, yeah, but just don't, you know, let the Wookiee win.
Yeah, that's...
You know.
I am the Wookiee.
I can't do it so good.
That's me trying to sing.
I'm a singer. Okay. But I would coordinate with whoever I'm going to be flying this thing with, whoever my crew is like, okay, we want to succeed at this, right? 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 Okay,
yeah.
We're succeeding at this. If you're wanting to fail, you get another group that wants to fail with you, and you guys have a ball, go ahead and fail. That's up to you. But I'm going to successfully fly this mission, and I'm bringing this back. I promise she won't get a scratch.
Yeah.
And I got your promise on that. Not a scratch. Now get going, you pirate. I probably should have had you do half the lines.
Yeah, that's okay.
Totally.
I don't know where you're going with this.
No one knows where I'm going. No one knows where I've been. And only God knows where I've been. And I'm a devil on the run, a six-gun lover, a candle in the wind. I'm going out in a blaze of bad singing.
You've been eating sugar, brother.
Actually, no, I haven't. I'm not allowed, you know. Other thing. So what is the, I think it's called Rise of the Resistance. And we've been hearing about an attraction where you get to fight against the Resistance. Or no, you are the Resistance. You're fighting the First Order. And now we've learned you have a confrontation with Mr. Kylo Ren himself.
Yes.
Ben! Yeah. Ben! And then we can see if Rey is right. And we are both taking a sip of our water. You've got a cooler cup than I do, though. I've got a Jaws on my cup, and you've got a Mickey Mouse cup.
That's right. In fact, in the bottom, you can see Mickey.
Oh, fun.
And there's a little Mickey Mouse signature right there.
I need to get some of that.
Yeah.
That's available at the park, right?
And there's a Minnie Mouse one we have, too.
I think Amanda showed me this one time.
Yeah.
So Bob Chapek was the one out there revealing all this. Epcot, we know Illuminations is closed. So sad.
Yes.
I never got to see it. I hear it was fantastic. Mm. I've heard the music of it. Sounds beautiful. But I guess, you know, you have to grow and change, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that happens.
So, now this is funny. Temporarily at Epcot, and this is going to debut fall 2019, it's called Temporarily. It's named Epcot Forever. And it's temporary.
Yeah.
But it's going to feature some classic Epcot tunes. So there's going to be a show temporarily while they build a brand new show that it sounds like it's going to be spectacular. Let's see. I think they even said the name of it. Let me pull that up again. New Nighttime Spectacular will celebrate how Disney music inspires people around the world and will feature massive floating set pieces, custom-built LED panels, choreographed moving fountains, lights, pyrotechnics, and lasers. It's a little light bulb that blinks. Sorry, I was watching Toy Story. But I guess it's called Celebrating Mickey Mouse? Because there's something, I guess that's what they're saying at the Destination D. I don't know if that's what they're actually titling this event, or well, it's not event, but I mean the new show at Epcot that they're building while you get this temporary Epcot for everything.
Huh, yeah.
So, big new show coming, and I'm sure it's going to be spectacular. As much as we're going to miss Illuminations if we got to see it, this is going to be really cool. We did, of course, they got a little bit more information talking about the new Mickey Mouse ride that replaced the Great Movie Ride. We do have a title for it. It is called Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
That'd be fun.
And it's the first ride through attraction that's ever actually had Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, and there's I've never understood that. You know, I've always wanted to see, when I was younger, there used to be this thing, of course, I don't really remember it. But there used to be this thing that they had with a stop animation, you know, whatever you want to call it, Mickey and them. There was like an instrumental.
Yeah, an animatronic.
Animatronic, yeah, thank you.
It was Mickey's Review, something like that. Yeah, so, they had they played all the different songs. They had some Mickey characters. Some of those characters still exist over in Splash Mountain.
That's what they said. And I've never gotten to see it, you know, in person, I mean. Yep. I've seen bits and pieces of it on film. But these are like handheld cameras that people had, and they recorded things about it.
I've seen some YouTube on that, too.
Yeah, but I've never
gotten to see it. I would like to have gotten to see it.
Yeah, I was a baby. I mean, in fact, it may have been around when you were born. It may not have been. I know it was really big, like in 76 and 77, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember when they shut it down.
But seeing the pictures of it as a little kid, seeing an animatronic Mickey Mouse, that really grabbed a hold of me.
Yes.
And I wanted to see it. I kept thinking, are they ever going to make a ride of Goofy and Mickey? And I wanted it.
I want to say it's in Tokyo, but they do have a version overseas.
Really?
I think it's in Tokyo.
Wow.
So I do remember seeing some stuff about that. If I'm getting that slightly off, somebody will probably correct me and send me some feedback. So please do. But yeah, they still have a version. But some of the figures here in the States were recycled.
Yeah.
For Splash Mountain.
Yeah, I remember that.
So,
but I always wanted to see a really good animatronic ride of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
I always thought how great.
Maybe that's what we get.
I hope so. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Something else, though, new coming at Epcot, we know in the France Pavilion. Now, this is part of the trend where Frozen has come in to replace Maelstrom over in the, whatever that area was called, the Viking area.
Yeah.
Norway.
Yeah.
And like it or not, it's there. France, of course, is the setting of Beauty and the Beast, so Beauty and the Beast is going to get a sing-along production going on in the France Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, still more characters moving into Epcot, whether it's a good thing or not. I'm not going to say, but I mean, this does seem to take a little bit away from what Epcot was. But now, granted, you know, we do have the Three Caballeros over in Mexico. We've had that for a long time.
It's not sold.
So, I mean, if done right, it can work. I mean, because we got the Guardians of the Galaxy are coming in. They're going to have a space station set up in Epcot, which, I mean, it still sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I just worry for the people who really love Epcot and what it was. I'm sure that's got to be heartbreaking a little bit.
Maybe this will get young people more involved with the world as far as the stuff they can see. I mean, I hope it doesn't take away. But it might get more young people involved with learning about a little more about everything. And hopefully that's what will happen.
And that's, I guess, the goal. I mean, you want to experience some of the world, but now you're going to get a lot more Disney. And Michael Eisner did say he wanted more characters in a long time ago, but I think he had a different thing in mind. Bob Iger has been really bringing in more intellectual property into Epcot. Which, I mean, heck, Epcot, I think, was the home where there was some Barbie stuff in there at one point.
I don't know.
I don't think Tomorrowland had it, but I think it was Epcot had actually some Barbie. So, I mean, there's been weird stuff in Epcot before, so let's try to just wait and see how it comes out. It's a Beauty and the Beast thing, which gets me excited, and it's being produced by Don Hahn anyway, who produced both films. And Beauty and the Beast is still the animated, it's still my favorite.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, so I would go. I would probably sing along and make a fool of myself, too. So, you know, but that's so far everything we know as the time of us recording of all these new wild and wacky things happening coming up in the parks. But now, The other thing that I did see happen in the parks, there's so much stuff that I did see pop up, and I've been really busy getting close to graduation.
Hard to keep up with it all in.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up, and it's hard to even keep sharing it to Twitter and Facebook of all the different things happening. I want to recommend to y'all Disney Inspires. It's another Facebook page. They have a website. You've heard them on the show. It's Jeff Revere and Amy. I don't know how to say her last name. But they've been on the show before. They even sent me a nice t-shirt. They're really fun people. They're keeping up on a lot of this Disney news, and they share a lot of stuff over at Disney Inspires on Facebook. So go over there and you can find even more stuff than what I'm able to share. I don't have time to share it all even in the show because there's so much stuff, but I do have to mention, because this has been a big thing, and I haven't really seen anything directly from Disney that's confirmed it, but I've seen it from enough sites that I trust that say this apparently is true. The part of your photo pass where normally you've had cast members who would take your photo for you, now in at least 9 locations, they're going to have a photo on the wall or a camera on the wall to take your picture. And somebody posted a picture that they claimed they got with Tinkerbell from one of these cameras, and it's like really pulled back and not zoomed in. Now, I'm thinking if Disney was going to do something like this, they're not going to take a bad picture like that.
No.
So I smell shenanigans. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they did try to swap a few cameras just to try to get maybe the line at the character meet and greets going a little faster, maybe. To maybe just, you know, let's get your picture, you can keep going. It might be a little quicker. I don't know. There's people upset saying, hey, Disney, you're cutting some jobs. To which I do have to wonder, you know, Disney is trying to raise wages on their cast members. And sometimes maybe you have to balance your costs. So maybe by trying to increase the wages, they had to cut a few. That happens. That's just business. Sorry to say. Somebody's mad at me, I've said it, but that's the truth. Sometimes if you want to pay more, sometimes you have to make cuts somewhere. Now, granted, their ticket prices keep going up, but I think also the cost of running the parks is going up, considering all the construction, all these new things coming. That costs money.
Yeah.
So, yes, the ticket prices are high, but I can see where the money's going. I mean, yeah. We just listed out a bunch of new stuff, new things happening, and we have a brand new land coming up there. I mean, 20 acres, if I remember correctly, 20 acres for Star Wars. I mean, that's a big expansion. So, everybody, take a breath. If you're upset about this, take a breath. Realize this is business. That's the way things kind of go. So I wish the ticket prices were more affordable for people of my class, of where I'm at. But I'm going to work my way into it. I'm going. I mean, a lot of people can go all the time, and that's great. And a lot of us can't go. But it doesn't mean we don't aspire and we don't work our way toward it. Because I'm going back. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find a way to where I'm going to go multiple times. I'm graduating from college. I'm going to have my degree. I'm going to work my tail feathers off. And I'm going Disney as much as I can. So that's the thing. And that's a goal to work for. Save money. Set some money aside. Make those Disney plans. You can make it happen. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us when we can't get to the parks, we still have all kinds of fun things to do, like sitting around watching Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Oh boy.
It's 90 years and we finally get to talk about my absolute favorite. And I mentioned earlier I had a little Fisher Price book and had a little record on it. I had one of Snow White, where Snow White was going to come back and visit the Seven Dwarves, and the Seven Dwarves are like fixing up the hut. I loved that. Even though I didn't see the actual movie until maybe just a few years ago. But The Brave Little Tailor.
Yes.
Taken from, I believe, the Grimm's Fairy Tale? Let me look this up again here. I remember looking at it, and I meant to read the actual story, but I didn't get a chance to. But it's an old classic fairy tale.
Yeah.
Which I did not realize. But this, I love this, because this is Mickey being at his the hero that we expect of him to be, where he's kind of the reluctant hero because he's scared, but he sucks it up, and he'll get brave when he needs to. But that's what's great about Mickey is he's afraid of stuff, too, but he's like, okay.
His positive personality shines through.
Right.
And at all costs. Mickey is usually a positive, gracious, positive, thankful little guy, even whenever he's ornery, even whenever he's facing all odds, his positivity shines through. And that's what I love about him.
Yeah, and he'll always do the right thing.
Yeah, no matter what.
Even if it costs and it's scary, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And that's what we see in this cartoon. I love this fact that, you know, there's this giant in the land. And Mickey, this little tailor, he's sewing. He's getting buzzed by these flies and all this stuff. And he gets these two swatters together and smack! And he gets 7 of them. And he gets excited, busts out the window. I got 7 in one blow! What he didn't hear is the conversation going outside there. It's like, wow, who are we going to get to kill a giant? And then suddenly Mickey pops out, I got 7 in one blow!
Yeah, misunderstanding.
7 giants in one blow! 7 giants in one blow!
Yeah.
And Mickey, he's so proud of it. I love the fact when he goes before the king, and the king asks him, is it true? You got 7 in one blow? And I love Mickey telling the story. Oh, they came from the right, from the left, the right, the left. I swung again and again and again. And then, boom, I let him have it. Mm-hmm. I love that. And he's just, ta-da, you know, hanging his hands and scissors in the air. Like, yes, the great Taylor. And they said, great, you are official chief dragon slayer, or giant slayer of the kingdom. What?
Yeah.
And he starts offering all this money to him. Mickey's like, oh, no, I can't do it. And then Minnie goes, she's like, oh, but he gets to marry me. And they get, the hand of the fair princess Minnie. And suddenly Mickey's got to do it.
Yeah. And then she gave him a kiss or something.
Oh, she piles kisses all over his face.
And that's when he's like, oh. Yeah, he's just like, let's do this thing.
Yes, he's going for it. And then it's so funny because then he's marching outside the castle. And he's like, okay, I'm going. And everybody's cheering him. And then I slam those castle doors behind him. And he's like, let me back. He's pounding on the doors, and then he sees Minnie waving her handkerchief, and he's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go. And off he goes to face the giant. Now, what's funny about this is because he used his smarts and intelligence, but he basically contains this giant in the end with thread.
Yeah.
How in the world is that thread strong enough to hold that giant?
He's a tailor. He knows.
He's a good tailor. But I love the way it's a scary moment, and the giant is kind of fun. I almost kind of wish it was Willy the Giant.
That's before he was created.
Yeah, it was Willy the Giant, was later Jack and the Beanstalk, but it's almost the same voice.
Yeah.
Hey, five, four, boom.
Yeah. But this giant's almost the same thing. Smoke.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Most giants are ignorant, right?
Yeah, big giant.
Let me tell you, brother.
No.
Let me tell you, I want pumpkins.
So, I mean, this is a great adventure, and Mickey nearly gets swallowed at one point. And, I mean, some clever stuff with the giant, because he wants a drink of water. He rips an entire well out and drinks, like, a big cup of water. Eating a handful of pumpkins, and then Mickey manages to sew his hand stuck up in a sleeve and all this stuff. And
that's great.
It's a great cartoon. You do face the giant, and they build a carnival out of the snoring giant.
Yeah.
And then at the end, even the king is whoopee on the carousel.
Yeah.
Just a delight.
Mickey gets Minnie.
And Mickey gets his Minnie and a big kiss on the carousel.
Yeah, that's great.
I love it. But this is Mickey terrified, but it's the right thing to do to stop this giant, and he's going to do it.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
That's one of the best. Mickey's just a little hero. Even Runaway Brain, you can see him terrified, but he'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Runaway Brain's a great one, too.
It is.
Which I just recently, and I mentioned this on the show last week, they have this, I should have brought it with me, 90-year collection. It's 90-year celebration. It's 13 episodes on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital of Mickey Mouse. It's got some of the best ones. And it's got to even get a horse, but it's missing Runaway Brain. I wish it would have Runaway Brain.
I want to get that. I wonder how much that is.
I'd like to I got it with my Amazon rewards. It was like a $15 thing on Amazon. It's at Walmart and stuff, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, I want to go get that.
That's really good.
I want to go get that, yeah.
So I've enjoyed it, and Heather's even enjoyed watching it, which she didn't grow up watching much Mickey Mouse or anything.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was all Looney Tunes, but now she was interested. She got all pulled into watching these because she loves these old cartoons.
Yeah, they're great.
They are great.
You can't beat the classics. I realize I'm Captain Old School, you know, but that's what I call myself. But the fact of the matter is you really can't beat the classics. If it weren't for the classics, you wouldn't have the new cartoons, really.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
They really built that foundation. And Mickey, Brave Little Taylor.
Oh. And Mickey really is. He's the one. He's the one that kind of made the cartoons become what they are. Because there's a competition in the old days. And really, Looney Tunes and all of those were trying to aspire to be what the Disney ones were. That's the facts. Popeye was trying to be what Mickey was. All of them were trying to be like Mickey. Just like with the comic books, I always say that all the other ones were trying to be like Superman. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. They were trying.
But the nice thing is Marvel started doing that, and then we can start segueing over towards Stan. Marvel making that difference of saying, well, they need to be more human.
Yes.
I need to believe these people.
And that changed,
I don't believe Superman.
That changed Superman. Mm-hmm. And that changed all the DC. So what Superman did for comic books, Stan Lee was the Superman of comic books in the sense that we're talking creator sense.
Yeah.
Because he is Superman of Marvel. He changed.
He was the Walt Disney of comics.
There you go. He changed it all.
Yeah.
Stan Lee did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, and we'll get diving into there, but I do want to make one quick mention that Brave Little Taylor was nominated for Best Animated Short Film at the 11th Academy Awards in 1939, but lost to Disney's own Ferdinand the Bull.
Oh,
I love that one, too.
That's great.
And it was compiled in the book as one of the 50 greatest cartoons.
Yes.
So, I don't know where it ranks, though. It doesn't say here, but we remember what number three was, right? Wasn't it number three?
I think it was number
the band
two.
Concert?
Wasn't it number two?
It was two or three.
Two or three. One
band concert was up there high.
Yes.
And I love that one too. But Brave Little Taylor, it's
special place. You know my favorite is. Yeah. But I got to say.
It's for similar reasons. You had that little Viewmaster, and I had a little book.
But I got to say, Brave Little Taylor, I want to say Brave Little Toaster.
That's a good one too.
Oh, it is. Brave Little Taylor is also one of my top Mickey Mouse. Probably, if I had a top 10, that and the band concert, they're in it. Because... First of all, they're my favorite Mickey.
Yeah.
That style. And two, as a child, I always was looking at stuff with the Brave Little Taylor on books and comic books and things like that. And I just loved him. I love the animation. I also had a Viewmaster thing of that.
Oh.
And I watched it constantly. I loved it. I was lucky and blessed. My dad, he shopped at garage sales like crazy.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Every time he found a Viewmaster, whether it be just a regular Viewmaster or whether it was the kind like we mentioned earlier that was really animated, he would buy them for me. And it cost him 50 cents. But to me, they were worth diamonds. They were worth gold, because that would just entertain me for days on end and beyond that. So... And you can see why. I love these characters, Mickey, Bugs, all of them. You know, I just love them. So.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Be a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie.
Starring everybody
and me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
Now, I haven't had a movie review really all month because I haven't had time to go see a movie since I don't know when. I haven't hardly seen a movie and I don't know when. But The Grinch came out, I guess a couple of weeks. Fantastic Beasts 2 came out and I don't have time or even funding right now to go see it. But
I'll see it in a couple of days.
Hopefully I'll be able to go see it sometime this week. Things may work out here with this holiday week. But The Grinch has come back. And you've seen it, and also I've heard from a Lost Boy, Eric. He apparently went early this morning. Poor guy was really tired, though. He had to work a night shift. And so then he went to go and take his kids to see The Grinch. So he does admit that he might have been a little grumpy when he saw it. But
so he was the Grinch of the movie.
But you also got a chance to see this new Grinch.
Yeah.
Now, let me just read some of his comments, the conversation I've been having with him here. But he says, surprisingly, Grinch uses God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and Silent Night.
Yeah, I like that.
So much padding, though.
Yes.
Cindy Lou Who and a single parent family wants to trap Sandy Claus.
Yes.
And how the Grinch stole Home Alone, he mentions also, I guess this is a thing. Whos don't say boo hoo, but are upset Christmas is stolen. Grinch hates Christmas because he is lonely. I think they did that with Jim Carrey, too.
They did.
The way Mike Yagubian was lonely. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Grinchy after seeing this. He does say, I wasn't in a good mood and it wasn't my choice to watch, so my influence may influence my thoughts. Low blood sugar, been up since 11:30 last night, put in 7 hours at work, and the food situation at the theater was complicated. Welcome Christmas was used nicely. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. It was a dissonant mess, which had to be hip.
Yes.
Impressed, they actually referred to Jesus with two carols I mentioned earlier, but there was so much padding. So, but those were Lost Boy Eric's thoughts, and he said everything that I was afraid of, because I even started seeing trailers where they got, yo, mean one, and I was like, grindy, ugh.
He and I have almost the exact same feelings about it. Now, I wasn't tired necessarily when I saw it. I was, however, fighting a seizure, so during the beginning of it. So, I started having one. I had one earlier that day, two of them.
Yikes.
Was able to fight. One of them I had probably the worst seizure I'd ever had, if not close. And then I'd had another one try to come, and I was able to fight it. And then one started again during that movie, fought it, had another one later, which I could not stop. But that being said, when the movie came, it started up, and when they started rapping seizure... Now, granted, people have different tastes and things, so to each their own. I say that often. When the movie started, and they started rapping "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," I cringed. Because I thought, I am once again Captain Old School.
Yeah.
And to me, you cannot, will not ever defeat the original book nor cartoon.
Yeah, especially Thurl Ravenscroft.
You can't beat it. That's just me.
Although I like Jim Carrey, I think did a good version when he sung it. I liked his.
Now, this is fun. What I was going to say. I personally
I'm talking the song though, not the movie.
Yeah,
because
I did not like the film with Jim Carrey. I always give it a D, if not D minus. But that being said, because it wasn't all bad. Jim Carrey himself did a great job with the singing. And
he actually pretty good performance.
Yes, with him himself. He did a good job with the performance, but I could not stand the film because he did a lot of adding and silliness, and so did the script. This is no disrespect to Ron Howard, but I personally didn't think that I hated the stuff that they did in that film, because what they did with that script was take the greatness of what the story was about, that the wonderful Dr. Seuss made, and they changed it all around. Now, in this movie, what I will say is I give it a C, if not a C+. Because what they did was they took the basics of the story and put it back. It's kind of a combination of the movie with Jim Carrey and the original, and they kind of combined it together. So they at least had the basic meaning of it. For instance, in the Jim Carrey movie, they have it to where all the Who's were all about Christmas being about stuff. They had a little bit of that in this, but not completely. And so at the end, when all their stuff was taken in the Jim Carrey movie, they were terrified and irritated. And this one, it wasn't so much. They were sad, but they quickly started singing the song. So they decided to celebrate anyway. And that was missing from the Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
so at least in this one, it was the main point was still that they were better than Grinch. And so they at least got that. Okay. And it wasn't a bad film, and I hate to say this too, because I love, what was his name, Cumberbatch?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I love him, but I gotta say, his voice wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, when I was hearing in the trailers and commercials, and I've been talking to Heather about this, he's talking in this high cartoony voice, and he's got this great deep voice.
That's what I was thinking.
If he used his natural voice, it'd have been awesome.
And also the narrator, I can't even remember his name. The narrator, who's a singer, apparently. I don't know.
I heard it's like a rap guy or something.
Yeah, and again, this is nothing against him personally. I'm sure he's a talented individual. I don't know who he is, but talented.
I forgot his name.
That's just not my thing.
Yeah, but, not mine either.
But that being said, his narration was horrible. Not because he is bad, but his voice is very normal, very quiet. And I was thinking, you need someone with a deep libretto, someone like Morgan Freeman.
Or Boris Karloff.
But that's the original, right?
Right.
He's not around now. So I was thinking someone like Morgan Freeman.
Didn't they get Anthony Hopkins to do the Jim Carrey one? Because he was great for a narrator.
You could have had someone like...
Get Sigourney Weaver, for crying out loud.
Kelsey Grammer.
Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman could narrate eating cheese and
exactly.
It'd be awesome.
He'd be like, I have a bowel movement. And you'd be like, that's great. Kelsey Grammer would have been great.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer is good too.
Anybody with that deep voice who can narrate. But this guy, like I said, I'm sure he's wonderful, but he couldn't narrate. You know, this wasn't very good. But still with all that, the movie was cute. I didn't like Cindy Lou Who. She was kind of bratty. Although, I say bratty. Wasn't bratty. That's not the right term. She just, first of all, Cindy Lou Who, who's no more than two. In the live action film and in this film, they threw that out the window. And she's just Cindy Lou Who, the 5-year-old, or Cindy Lou Who, the 10-year-old. In this one, she's about 5. But I just didn't like that. All that being said, I still give it a C because it was still fun and it was still cute. And so nothing can defeat the original, in my opinion. That's just me.
Yeah, especially when you take a short book and you try to extend it to an hour and a half, you're asking for trouble. And as Eric put it, so much padding.
Well, seeing how the movie started at 9, started at 7:30, you had about 15, 20 minutes of previews, and we were out by, by 9. We were out. So that goes to tell you that it wasn't even an hour and a half, and we were done.
Oh, well, they did try to keep it short then, huh?
Yeah, but they didn't have anything else to put in there.
they shoved as much as they could.
And it was not even an hour and a half long. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I was like, wow.
Well, because really, you only need a half an hour to tell the story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Boris Karloff.
And thank you to, I can't think of his name.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
The one who wrote the music, who ended up being in the, what was the name of that show? Fame. He ended up being one of the actors, played the teacher on Fame. He wrote the music. The one who wrote You're a Mean One, all that. He wrote that.
Really?
Music. Yeah, he was the teacher, the kind of heavy set with the white beard and all. Yeah, he's from the show Fame.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, groovy.
Yeah, pretty groovy.
That's sort of like the weird thing. We find out Chuck Lorre, the creator of The Big Bang Theory, wrote the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song from the 80s.
Isn't that awesome?
And that's actually him singing the song.
Yeah, I knew that part. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome.
Wild stuff, man. Weird, wild stuff. But look, we had a movie review this month.
There you go. Yay.
And now it's time to turn yet another corner.
Yes.
All right, so two major deaths.
Yes.
I'm going to start with the latter one first. Because I have to build up to the big finale.
Yes.
But Roy Linwood Clark was born April 15th, 1933, in Meharen. I'm sorry if those of you in Virginia, I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize. But in Meharen, Virginia. And actually just died here on the 15th, aged 85, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, I mean, he was, of course, a country legend. And I'm not one for country music so much. But I remember him when I was a kid watching Hee Haw, him and Buck Owens.
Buck Owens.
And I loved that.
Yes.
I
mean,
you'd have, he's a pickin' and Buck Owens is a grinnin'.
Oh, boy.
And they're a pickin' and a grinnin', and they'd sing those songs. And good old Roy Clark was on The Muppet Show.
Yes.
Sung a couple songs.
You couldn't beat Roy Clark, man. Mm-hmm. That guy, there's something about his sparkling personality.
Yeah, he's always smiling.
I don't think I've ever seen him not smile. He had this personality that he was one of the most affable men on TV. I loved him.
And I hope it was the way he was in real life.
I hope so. He just seemed to have this affable way about him.
Yeah.
I remember, in fact, I have a copy of Bing Crosby's Christmases, and him and Bing Crosby were a lot of fun together. And I don't know if you ever got to see that or not, but him and Bing Crosby, they were singing this wonderful little song together, and I tell you, two great personalities. But Bing Crosby, it was great, of course. But Roy Clark on the banjo. I mean, he made banjo picking just outstanding.
Yeah.
I'd say the next guy to him that I can think of is Steve Martin. But
oh, heck yeah.
But Roy Clark, he was so great on a banjo.
Yeah.
He made it look easy. That shows you greatness.
But when you watch him play, because banjo doesn't get a lot of respect anyway.
No, it doesn't.
It's that hick redneck instrument. But it's got a unique sound, and you see how the and it's. Oh. I mean, you don't really strum that banjo much. You're picking.
Yeah.
You know, it's a full hand workout. Yeah. I mean, so that's someone who can play that thing and play it like that. Man, that's this.
And he goes so quick.
Yeah.
And it was so quick.
You know.
And he was so funny. You remember the Beverly Hillbillies when he was on there?
I think I've seen that one. I think they actually had it on a couple weeks ago. I think I remember seeing Roy Clark on Beverly Hillbillies.
He was hilarious. He's supposed to be their cousin.
Yeah.
Their far cousin, you know, second, third, fourth removed. I don't remember how they said it. But he was hilarious. He goes on there, and he's supposed to be, they were trying to make him, like, famous, and they had him dress up. I can't think what the name they gave him on there. But they had him dress up like a little boy blue, they call him. And they had him sing The Great Pretender, you know. And he was told that he had to sing a certain way. So he goes, oh, yes, woohoo, I'm the great woohoo, pretender, woohoo. And he was dressed wearing this little, like, maroon shorts real high up. And he had these, he basically looked like a little little boy in a like, maroon shirt and suit. And he had this blonde little wig coming down and little bow hat. And, oh, he was hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
He was so funny.
I know I've seen him playing his banjo on Beverly Hillbillies, but I don't think I've seen that.
Oh my goodness, he was hilarious. Oh, he was hilarious.
But we also did manage Eric found him, of course, singing in Disneyland's 30th celebration.
Yes. I was going to say it's one of my earliest memories is seeing him sing that.
What was he singing? Oh, let's see. I'm going to hit this YouTube.
This Land Is Your Land is what I remember.
Oh, this thing. All right. Well, it's not going to sound good on microphone. I'm just looking it up here. Well, here he is. But on YouTube, you can find Roy Clark singing at the Disney 30th celebration. There he is dueling banjos on Buck Trent. I think this entire. Oh. We do what Walt Disney used to do all
the time. Never seeing how the park looks from a child's point of view. He wants to see what
children saw. Well, yeah, that's the Cosby kids on there. But yeah, that's not going to sound good from the phone, so I'm not going to do that. I almost did there when it started playing noise, but I was trying to get to where Roy Clark was playing stuff. But yeah, so there's definitely some Disney connection. Mm-hmm. He's got a fantastic appearance on The Muppet Show. I meant to watch that this week, like Friday night, Saturday, but I haven't gotten a chance to sit and watch it because it is on season 3, I believe. That's like the third episode of that season. So if you have the one with Fozzie, That's the one that has Roy Clark on.
Awesome. They go good together.
Roy Clark on there. Yeah, because they got all them hillbilly Muppet characters, so they have him playing with that. And he sings Sally Was a Good Old Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one on there that he sang? Sally Was a Good Old Girl. What was the other song? Rocky Top, that's right. Singing Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. We don't sing it as good as Roy Clark.
Good old Rocky Top.
Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Hey, you didn't pay to hear it.
Rocky Top, Tennessee.
But it's cool because you've got him. I mean, he was so talented. He didn't just rock on that banjo.
No.
I mean, he can play his guitar. He can play his fiddle. Mm-hmm. And the whole clip, when you watch it, On the Muppet Show, as they have different shots they mix together of him playing all the different instruments as he's singing a song with some of the Muppets.
That's awesome.
And you're like, dude, Roy Clark, instrumental god.
Yeah, okay, he was
little G god, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. He could be a whole band.
Yeah.
What I loved about the banjo, though, where I think it gets overlooked, when you're hearing it play, there's almost a harmony to itself. Which is what I love about it. It's got three or four little things going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And people, they kind of put a stamp on it. They like to put redneck, by the way.
Yeah.
Quit doing that. But not just to the banjo, but to people in general.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. The fact is it's awesome. The banjo is awesome.
Yeah.
There's a CD I want to buy.
You can play it with a barbershop quartet.
Amen.
Sounds good.
I've seen a CD I want to buy. I think it's called like Blue Band or Blue Ribbon. I think it's called Blue Ribbon.
And
it's
Blue Ribbon Bluegrass?
Yes. It's got a... It's got a Steve Martin CD, and I want to get that. Yeah, because he is awesome. But
yeah, he was supposed to have been coming around. I think we missed him where he came around and was playing some of his music.
Yeah, well, so, he's coming back with
Martin Short. Again. I saw the ad.
I don't know if you've seen it,
man,
but
I want to go so bad.
On Netflix, they do have him and Martin Short doing that very thing. It's great.
Okay, I got something to watch later on Netflix. Although I want to go to Excelsior Springs tonight because they're going to do like a light parade or something.
There you go.
So, it's Christmas light time for me.
There you go.
Netflix, okay, I'm going.
There you go.
Because I mean, I still want to go and see them live because Steve Martin, Martin Short, two of the three amigos. I'm there.
Hey,
I am there.
And Steve Martin, it shares my birthday, you know.
Well, there you go. See?
Back to Roy Clark.
I don't know if there's anything else that we could actually mention. I mean, other than, look, in the 70s, he actually guest hosted for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show.
Wow.
Enjoyed 30 million viewership for Hee Haw, which, we have to talk some Hee Haw.
Oh, yes. There would, in my opinion, now, don't get me wrong, I love Buck Owens, and I love all the people from it. Goober, right?
Yes, and Goober was on there.
But
yes.
That being said.
And apparently he was like a great Shakespearean actor, but he's always known for Goober.
Always. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is to me, personally, when it came to the beginning of the show and it came to the end of the show and even in the middle several times, to me, it was always about Roy. He was the one that, to me, that was a stamp.
Yeah.
Except for the cartoon donkey. The stamp was always Roy for me.
Yeah. And to explain Hee Haw, if you're younger and you've never seen Hee Haw, YouTube it. It was this goofy comedy variety show with basically like you're out somewhere in the cornfields in Nebraska or something.
And it had guest stars aplenty.
Guest stars aplenty. I mean, I've seen Dolly Parton on there.
Oh yeah, she was on there a lot.
Because everybody loved Dolly.
Yeah, I mean, but
I think I even saw Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell sisters on there before they got their own show.
But it wasn't just singers. I mean, you had what's his name from
I even saw Ray Stevens on there.
What was his name from Three's Company?
John Ritter.
John Ritter was on there. He'd come popping up and.
Yeah.
The people would pop up out of the cornfield doing jokes.
Doing stupid one-liner jokes.
It was so
bad
popular.
Puns.
It was so popular. They had a comic book for a short while. They even had a lunch pail.
Oh, I remember the lunch pail.
Yeah.
I think I had that lunch pail.
Yeah, it was pretty popular.
But I remember my grandpa used to love Minnie Pearl on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, wore a big hat and always had the tag
every
down.
Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
Minnie I still Pearl. Have a little mask of her.
Somewhere, I hope somebody still has this picture somewhere, but when he was had cancer, they were getting like his last trips and last things to do, and he got to meet Minnie Pearl and got a picture with her. I wish I had that picture.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he just loved Minnie Pearl.
I got somewhere that little on the
we're through wood, playing now.
They had that little that little wooden stick mask of her. It has that little little price tag.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. Oh gosh, that show was just so funny. Of course, now there are some networks that'll show it now. Grandpa George, what's for supper?
That's right.
Grinch, and he'd always mess it up, and they'd keep coming back to him until he'd get this crazy menu right.
Remember the quartet? The quartet. The quartet, they had the four guys, including Grandpa.
Oh, and the jug bump.
Yeah,
basically the Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah, and they sing a lot of times, they sing gospel songs. They get
yes,
serious
Yes, they would. They'd
yeah.
sing some gospel songs. Well, then you, I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You met another
and you were gone.
Yes, they had to sing that song with their guest every week.
That's
it was
right.
so great. And Roy Clark, that's where I knew him from.
Me
from
too.
Him and Buck Owens. I liked him and Buck when they
yeah.
do things together.
They were.
They'd sing their ending song. I can't remember. Can't think of their ending song, but at the end of the show, they would
salute.
Yeah, and they tell their jokes and they'd end the show. Oh, I'm gonna miss Roy Clark. Although I mean,
he has
yeah,
hee haw.
And you know, really, he had an autobiography, My Life in Spite of Myself, from 1994, inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2009. I became a member of the Grand Ole Opry in '87. All kinds of different stuff, and he's been out of a lot of the public light in a long time.
Yeah,
but I didn't miss him until he was dead.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
when you know someone's not there.
Yeah, that's when it really hits
hard.
Yep. But what a great legacy and what great fun and memories. And I hope some channel is going to pull out some hee-haw, because we've got a lot of great channels that are showing some old TV. Pull out some hee-haw. Let's celebrate some hee-haw.
I have a DVD that's my father's in the other room. I'm going to have to watch now.
It's hee-haw?
Yeah. Hee-haw, best of
hee-haw.
My mother let me borrow it. And I'm gonna have to watch
it. Yeah, they have like Time Life videos of the best of hee-haw stuff.
I know my father has some, and I'm gonna have to watch some just to kind of think of him, you know.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's why I meant to watch that Muppet Show episode, because that's all I got of him.
Yeah.
But then earlier in the week, we were completely and totally devastated by the loss of the great Stanley Lieber, also known as Stan Lee, because he took the name Stan Lee because he was gonna write the great American novel.
Yep.
And he thought it was, I'm going to comic books. Well, I need a job. Well, I won't use my real name.
Yeah.
But little did he know that that would be the big thing. And did you, I think I told you about it. They put it on his official Twitter, like the last interview he was doing, and talk about how much he just loved us fans.
Yeah, I want to see
and
that.
He says, like, the nice thing, he says how genuine it was that he knew that we really cared about him and
absolutely.
Really cared about us, because he knows how much love you give. And everybody's been basically... sharing pretty much the same soapbox, because some of the things he was against, you know, like bigotry of any sort, you know, it's like, and he even mentions, like, whether you're like Democrat or you're conservative or Republican, we all together in this world and together in the Marvel universe and having some fun together.
Yeah.
And that's to us, that's that Disney thing
that's
too.
It.
We all, you know, because I've got people that are Disney friends and we all love Disney, but I disagree on some other stuff with them. But I'm like, hey, but we still love Disney together.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, you're going to have people, the people you're closest with, we're going to agree on a lot more stuff than just Disney, but you're still going to have friends that are dear Disney people that you completely disagree with on some other stuff.
You can disagree on things, but that doesn't mean you don't love them.
And that's what Stan Lee was all about.
He's
and people have been
guy.
Sharing that, because that's something we haven't seen online. But Stan was big on that message. But he was born December 28th, 1922 in Manhattan, New York City. So he's a New York kind of guy, which, I mean, his New York just came out. The way he talked, he was so New York.
Yeah.
Yes, you just love
you
that.
You couldn't get past that, man.
Yeah, I mean, Stanley Martin Lieber, and of course, Joan just passed away last year. And
he was heartbroken, man.
I can't help but believe
that had something to do.
Yes. Because, I mean, when you'd see the even older, because I've got some DVDs, I've even got the Kevin Smith interview with him with the Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
When you see him and Joan together, I mean, they just had love magic for old people.
They
were so cute together.
I loved it.
It was great.
You feel like that they're family. I know they're not.
Yeah.
But we knew so much about them. And when you know them your whole life, and you know of them, and you think about this, we had them in our homes our whole lives. We had them in our homes. We read about them. We saw them on TV.
Spider-Man and Amazing Friends.
That's it. His voice was out there. He's recording it. So that's why you feel like they're family. They're part of your life, even though you're not a part of theirs. They're a part of your life. And so that's why you feel like they're family. And that's why I think it hit so hard.
Yeah, it did. I mean, especially when you grow up reading and you read all these characters that he created. And
not to mention, he talks in the back of the comic books and gives
the
you...
The Stan soapbox.
Yeah, and he gives you a sense of... it's okay, pal. I'm with you.
Yeah.
We're all together. Yes.
Enough said.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's one of the great things is like that first major cameo he had in X-Men. I mean, he's got some other bits where he popped up
once in a while.
Mallrats.
Yeah.
But like
in
X-Men.
The Hulk movie on TV.
It was so nice in X-Men. those of us that knew who he was, Stan Lee's back there. And we're like other people who were just like, oh, this movie looks cool. And they, you know, and they get into it. It's fun to have brought some new fans along, like, oh, see that guy. And they started recognizing they were seeing that guy a lot.
Yeah, like, and why is he in there?
Having these new fans who are like, hey, that guy. So, oh, that's Stan Lee. Oh, he created these characters. Because now you have so many new people who love these characters. Even if they haven't read any of the comics, they still love these characters.
Yeah.
And they know they love him because he created them.
And a lot of them became a fan of his because of the movies. And they didn't know. Now they do.
And they're in on it. So now we're also preaching to them the gospel of Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby.
And they're getting in on it.
And because Jack Kirby, we lost a long time ago. Steve Ditko, we just lost this year.
Yeah, we love him too.
Yeah, we love him and his art and everything. And there was a little bit more detail about how they had their bit of a falling out. Because Steve Ditko was really big into, I think it's called objectivism and Ayn Rand, you know, the Atlas Shrugged and all that kind of thing. He was really big into that. And him and Stan disagreed on that. And so that kind of got to where they had a hard time working together. But I think there was still a love there.
Kind of a love-hate.
Yeah, love-hate thing.
Disagreement, but sometimes people have a hard time working along if you don't agree
100%. Because Steve Ditko went over in DC and did some great work over there. So did Jack Kirby.
He did.
There's some great artists that we have to give some credit for their part in the creation of these characters.
One thing about Stan Lee that I have to give 100% respect to, and I'll always do, Stan is one who always gave credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Some people say that he doesn't, that he's trying to take people's credit. If that's the case, then how come he always talks about Ditko and always talks about Jack Kirby? Not to mention the fact that even with DC, when DC has documentaries and things, Stan Lee shows up in them and gives credit to Superman and Batman and to Bob Kane and to Jerry Siegel and all these people. Schuster, and he'll talk about
these
things.
Good friends with Bob Kane, apparently, too.
He was.
I've seen some great pictures of them two together. Wouldn't you just love to be at that dinner table?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Woo!
But the point is that he puts credit where credit is due and commemorates him and says, if it weren't for Superman, all these things, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So this is where I have to love the man, not to mention that he did for our country. He did go serve.
Right? World War One?
World War II.
Was it two?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to give him complete salute to that. You know, that's great. He didn't get involved with Captain America, incidentally. A lot of people say he created. He didn't.
He didn't. He brought him back, with the Avengers.
Captain America would not be the Captain he is.
And he did write some Captain America.
Yes, he did. He would not be the Captain America that he is if it were not for Stan Lee.
For Stan Lee.
He wrote a lot of the stories that we know of, being the origins, that was written in the 60s whenever they brought him back to life with the whole Bucky thing where he got his arm blown off. That's Stan. You know.
And Stan is the first one who, I love this story of when he was going to come around with the Fantastic Four and he was being told he couldn't do it, whatever, you know, and then Joan told him, because he wanted to write a family drama with superheroes. And Joan told him, just write it the way you want, because what's the worst that could happen? They're only going to give you one shot. Just do it the way you want to.
He was going to retire at the age of 40. Yeah. A couple years younger than me. Yeah. You know, you're younger than you. He was going to retire, and he said, she said, if you're going to quit, you might as well give it one shot.
Do it the way you want to do it.
Thank goodness for her.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for her.
She was a smart lady.
Yeah. She was one great cookie, you know? Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for her.
Yeah, because then suddenly he's not retired and he's still going.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we got the X-Men and we got Spider-Man.
Yeah, Fantastic Four first.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four, the first family of comics.
Thank goodness.
Of superheroes.
And that's why I hate when people put them down, like, hey, you show respect to the
thing.
You
gotta love the Fantastic Four for what they mean.
And Mr. Fantastic
and
a woman.
It was superheroes that had human problems, that had a real life. I mean, even the Hulk, who's the most powerful thing you could see in the Marvel Universe, is a man struggling with this beast inside.
Not just that.
I mean,
Stan Lee, with the Incredible Hulk, Stan Lee had to fight like crazy to get the Hulk taken, because he first introduced him, and he was gray. You all know that little story,
I'm
sure.
Yeah, I think there was like a printing.
Yeah, that was the first issue. Yeah. He wasn't accepted. But that was in the sensational, whatever it was called, Secret Sensation. Anyway, that wasn't really accepted. And then he tried it again. People wouldn't take it. So he just kept bringing it back and kept bringing it back. And he would not let that. He was brought into the Avengers for like four or five issues. I think it's five issues. Mm-hmm. That didn't take. They didn't really want him around. He kept bringing it back and kept bringing it back. And finally, he was accepted. But that's all because of the tenacity of Stan Lee.
Yeah, and the guts he had with when you know Vietnam's going on, and suddenly he, you know, and everybody's against the industrial war complex and all this stuff, and anyone who's making weapons is a horrible person. Stan says, "I'm going to make one of these people that you all hate, and I'm going to make him a hero."
Yeah,
and Tony Stark comes around, and Iron Man is born, and it's like that was taking a huge risk.
Yes.
But that's getting people to look at you. Got to look at people even that you have something against differently.
And one thing that he did too, yeah, he was really good about that. One thing he did too that I thought was great, Stan being a writer, he loved words that nobody used, like sensational and fantastic.
And Excelsior.
Excelsior. These are words, you know, we say, yeah, people use those all the time. Back then they did not.
They didn't. But now we do.
It's because of him. Philip, you're being a little silly. No, I'm not. He really did make those.
Well, you're always a little silly. But
of course.
But we ain't even kidding. Yeah.
But he really did make those words a lot more used than they were back in the day.
And they're great adjectives. And now, I mean, you cannot get away from with like a... I think even in the game, there's some point, it's like, wow, that was amazing. Spectacular, even.
Yeah.
You know? There's always something, because we're always going to associate that with the amazing Spider-Man, who is the spectacular Peter Parker, the spectacular Spider-Man.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we're caught in the web of
Spider-Man. Right.
Of course, that's not a Stan thing. That was a later thing. But, amazing, spectacular, always going to make me think Spider-Man.
Same here.
Fantastic is always going to be, there's four of them.
That's right.
Fantastic. Incredible is always a Hulk.
That's it.
And the Invincible, that's Iron
Man. Even the word Hulk. I mean, the word Hulk, except for Hogan. No, but right. the word Hulk.
Well, Hulk Hogan, I mean, come on, he's had to borrow that.
He did. And in fact, now I'm coming up with this on my own, but it is interesting to me that with Hulk Hogan, that the WWF later on had an association with Marvel.
Yeah, I think it was because in order to get licensing for the name.
I'm assuming.
I think I've heard that before.
But I just know
if
that...
If that's wrong, somebody correct us, but I think that's right.
I do know that Marvel Comics was involved with making wonderful illustrations of those characters. Randy Motz, all those guys, you know. I love those cards. I want a copy of all those things.
Yeah.
You'd see them on those little ice cream bars, you know. They're all on there.
Yeah.
And they used to have trading cards with those pictures, and I want to get a copy.
I would like some Marvel ice cream bars like that,
Are you kidding? I want some WWF and now E. I would love to have some of those. They had to remake them. CM Punk was right. They should have those.
I want my ice cream bar.
You bet.
But getting us back on track.
Yeah.
You know, only Stan Lee could get away with some of the cheesiest names and calling somebody Victor Von Doom, to where you can call him Dr. Doom. And then Stephen Strange, Dr. Strange. And I love the fact that they kind of tease that a little bit. It's like, well, I'm Dr. Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up names.
Yes.
Only Stan Lee could get away with naming somebody like that.
You know, Professor X.
Yes.
But it's Xavier.
But it's not Xavier. It's for that extra something special that makes them X-Men.
Yes, that's great, though. Yes. That's awesome.
It's so great. Yes.
It's cornball, but it's fun.
Only Stan Lee could get away with that. And even his alliteration for names, so he wouldn't forget. Because he was writing so many books, so he had to remember it. Let's see, Reed Richards, Sue Storm, and Peter Parker. He had to have that to remember. And, you know, come on, Clark Kent. It's a C and a K, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. You know... But that being said, it's fun, and it was fun, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, if you cannot take a comic book with a little bit of a wink.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is I think people, they take things a little too serious nowadays, especially. This is why, to me, the comic book movies did not get great until with the Avengers, I believe is where it started getting great. Why? Because they finally started to open the door for the aliens and all that stuff, where they finally
over
started
the
saying,
top stuff.
Yes, we are a comic book.
Yeah.
Because they kept trying to get so serious that they're like, well, we would, except
it's
a movie.
Yeah, thank you, Christopher Nolan, for making Batman so serious, which it was still good movies.
Oh, great films.
But it almost lost some of the fun of what Batman
And I do think that those were more acceptable that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
Batman, you can be realistic like that.
But at the same time, I do think it can be half and half.
Yeah.
You gotta
find that balance.
That balance is the perfect
one. So I think Heath Ledger actually made an entertaining Joker, because he had that realism, but he kept that slightly, just a little over the top.
That's
just
it.
Just a little bit.
Enough. You need to have a little bit of, I'll just say, a little bit of Nolan. Stay away from the Schumacher.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Nolan being involved with Superman was probably just not a good idea. You don't want to go realistic with Superman, because it's Superman.
Defense of Nolan. had nothing to do with it going the way it did.
Yeah.
That wasn't him.
He was involved, but not enough, maybe. I don't know.
By the time he came in, it was already pretty much made.
Yeah, it's already a disaster.
Yeah, so that was the other man. So he's had nothing to do with it, and it's still there. They're changing it now. So
yeah, they're trying to fix it.
That's Snyder stuff.
So, but you can apparently do a little bit of realism with Captain America, but I got to say, I still love the first Avenger best as far as Captain America. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the Winter Soldier. Like, yeah, and that is a good movie.
Yeah.
And that fits with the current modern Captain America, where they try to make it more of a spy thriller.
I do love the Captain America movie. I thought one of the things I loved the most about it was like watching going back in the 40s, which was great. Yeah. And I love that you're back there. And of course, Stan Lee did an awful lot when he said, I guess one man can make a difference.
And Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. But when
I guess one man can make a difference.
That's what it is.
Enough said.
But what was it he said in the museum to Captain America? He said something very interesting. I can't think what it was. He said some word about...
I actually don't know a copy of Winter Soldier.
It's something to that effect.
I still need to get a copy of that one.
It says something to that effect where he's like... It says something like that where...
Well, and I do like, though, that in Age of Ultron that you have him wearing his veteran's hat. Though.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
He's so drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what he says to Cap and everything, but yeah, he always got great lines to say. Yeah,
which he should.
Even in Big Hero 6, I wear him back to front, I wear him front to back.
Yeah, that was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's sad, though, is I was hoping in Big Hero 6 Part 2 or whatever, that we're going to get to see a little bit more of them, but you know, now we can't.
My hope, and I know that it's not like I get to talk to the producers or anything, but I'm hoping there's enough people that have the same idea. My hope is in the next films to come, and I'm hoping forever.
After the ones that they've already got cameos filmed.
I'm hoping that after the ones he's already done, I'm hoping they'll place his picture somewhere in the background.
Hide him in the background. Yeah. There's probably enough audio and footage of him that maybe you can sneak something in there with computers.
Put him in a computer. Have him do something. Even if someone's watching something on TV and you see interviews, do something. He should never go away.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing. You know, next time we see a cameo, it's going to be like Rogue One when we saw Princess Leia after Carrie Fisher had just died and we all choked a little bit.
Yeah.
If you didn't, then okay, you're weird. But I choked a little bit both times. I remember I sucked in when I saw her because I knew she was gone. When I see Stan Lee in Avengers Part 4 and Captain Marvel, I know there's going to be a collective.
Is there any others that they've got?
I know of at least those two. I've heard there's up to four other ones that he's already done a cameo, but I don't know if that's true. But I know at least for Captain Marvel and the next Avengers film, he's in. So when we see him again, it's going to have that impact.
Yeah.
So... But we got to wrap this up here. But what Stanley has really, I mean, that's like losing Walt Disney in our generation.
It is.
It really is. I mean, it's like losing Jim Henson again. Walt Disney, Jim Henson, Stan Lee. The next one, we lose John Williams and that's it. I'm done.
You know,
I still have more life to live. Let's not get that idea. But I mean,
I one time was drawing a picture of people of certain era, certain things. And I had different people Walt Disney was one of them. Stan Lee was one of them. Jim Henson, and even though it's not quite the same, I have Vince McMahon and a few others who I think have really affected different eras like that, different types of
Vince
things.
Vince McMahon is the Walt Disney of wrestling.
Yes, that's true. I had different things like that. But to me, Stan Lee has been around so long.
Yeah.
And he's affected more than one thing. I almost think it's...
Movies, television,
He's just affected comics. So much, you know, he really has. And... such an affable person.
Yeah.
Really, you know.
Yeah. Stan was the man.
Stan was the man.
Excelsior!
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
and like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yay!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.